suffer like I am from time to time. You know that sometimes thoughts come to our mind and actions come to our bodies that we ourselves would not normally want to participate in. We just find ourselves doing these things. And the reason we do these things is because either we have decided ourselves to do it, or because there has been placed into our body something that has caused us to do those things. Now God sends His ministering angels to us to prompt us to do things. For example, some of you were prompted this morning to go to church. Satan certainly didn't prompt you to go to church, so who prompted you to go to church? It was the Lord. It was God's ministering angels prompting you. Sometimes the Holy Spirit comes and prompts the person to do this or to do that. So all the good things that we do are prompted by ministering angels that come from God. They are His messengers. Now, in like comparison, the things that are wrong that we do are done not from God, because God is not evil and God doesn't do things bad, but the things that are bad that we do is a result of the other angels coming. Well, we don't call them angels, we call them demons. If you turn with me to Mark's writings, I'd like to turn to Mark chapter 5 and deal with an interesting story that you are familiar with, but go through it verse by verse, and maybe something new will just sort of leap out of the pages, which will help you where you are right now. It's on page 53 in the Pew Bibles. The scripture is Mark chapter 5, verse 1 beginning. Jesus and His disciples arrived on the other side of Lake Galilee, in the territory of Gerasa. As soon as Jesus got out of the boat, He was met by a man who came out of the burial caves there. This man had an evil spirit in him, and he lived among the tombs. No one could keep him tied with chains anymore. Many times his feet and his hands had been tied, but every time he broke the chains and smashed the irons on his feet. He was too strong for anyone to control him. Day and night he wandered among the tombs and through the hills, screaming and cutting himself with stones. He was some distance away when he saw Jesus. So he ran, fell on his knees before him, and screamed in a loud voice, "Jesus, Son of the Most High God, what do you want with me? For God's sake, I beg you, don't punish me." He said this because Jesus was saying, "Evil spirit, come out of this man." So Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And the man answered, "My name is Mob. There are so many of us." And he kept begging Jesus not to send the evil spirits out of that region. There was a large herd of pigs nearby feeding on a hillside. So the spirits begged Jesus, "Send us to the pigs and let us go into them." He let them go, and the evil spirits went out of the man and entered the pigs. The whole herd, about 2,000 pigs in all, rushed down the side of the cliff into the lake and was drowned. The men who had been taking care of the pigs ran away and spread the news in the town and among the farms. People went out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who used to have the mob of demons in him. He was sitting there clothed and in his right mind, and they were all afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the man with the demons and about the pigs. So they asked Jesus to leave their territory. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had had the demons begged him, "Let me go with you." But Jesus would not let him. Instead, he told him, "Go back home to your family. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how kind He has been to you." So the man left and went all through the 10 towns telling what Jesus had done for him. And all who heard it were amazed. For a moment, I want you to put yourself in the shoes of this man. And that should not be very difficult. For if we are human, we have these warring spirits within us. Most of us have camouflaged it so well, and we have got such a mask on us that you wouldn't know the torment and the toil that goes on within us. The civil war, if you please, between righteousness and evil. And sometimes righteousness wins, but more often evil prevails. And so I'd like for you to place yourself in the shoes of this man. Oh, he probably didn't have shoes, that's right, because he lived out there in the tombs. What was he doing out there in the tombs to begin with? Well, he was there at a place, limestone area. It was easy for tombs to be cut out of the stones. And so he lived there. He lived there because there was no place else to live. He was controlled completely by these demons. Now, you and I are not controlled and possessed by demons because we are Christians and we have Jesus, the Spirit, in us. And the Spirit of redemption has sealed you. The Spirit of redemption has sealed every one of you if you are a Christian. So our spirit is sealed, but we still have the plaguing of these demonic influences. Now here is this guy who had supernatural strength. He did not have the kind of strength, you can read about it in verse 4, not the kind of strength that we read about, for example, in Judges chapter 3, 13, 14, 15, and 16 about Samson, because the strength that Samson had was supernatural strength given to him by God. This guy's got the strength. His strength comes from the other side of the town, the other side of the fence, the other side of the area, meaning, of course, from demonic influences. It says here, the man had the evil spirit in him. They tried to tie him with chains. They couldn't keep him. Many times his feet and hands had been tied, but every time he broke the chains, he smashed the irons on his feet. He lived in the tomb. Sometimes they were 20 feet square, cut out of the limestone. So Jesus approaches this man, the scripture says here, and in verse 7, as soon as he approached the man, the demons inside this man cried out with a loud voice, "Hey Jesus, Son of the Most High, what do you want with me?" You see, this proves that demons know Jesus as the Son of God. It proves that they know their fate. "What do you want with me? For God's sake," they said, "I beg you, don't punish me." They know the power that God has. They know today the power that you have as a believer, because it says in the Word of God that the believers will go and cast out these demons. What about to do with you, demons? In verse 9, something very special, Jesus asked them, "What is your name?" He did what? He spoke to a demon and he said, "What is your name?" A scripture text that we can talk to demons. Scripture text, the demons have names. And so the demon answered. No, it says the man answered. Well, the demon used his voice. Like demons have spoken out of my voice, and like some of you who've had deliverance, demons have actually spoken. It's not us, but it's for the demons. The demon answered and said, "My name," you read in King James, "is Legion." TEV, today's English version, as many of you are following, it says, "My name is Mob." There's so many of us. There's so many of us. 6,000. Can you believe that? 6,000 demons in one man, which proves to me that demons don't take much space, like angels. And they are the same, angels and demons. One messengers of God, one messengers of the anti-God, Satan. The power that God's got, the power that Satan's got, just a hair below the power of God. 6,000 in this one man. The chief demon here had many with him. Well, if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 12, you'll find a different man, a different story, you'll find a different situation, and a different number of demons. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, 44, and 45. When an evil spirit goes out of a person, it travels over dry country looking for a place to rest. If it can't find one, it says to itself, here it proves that demons have rationality and they have intelligence. They say to themselves, I'll go back to my house. So it goes back and it finds the house clean and empty and all fixed up because the demons have been expelled from that person. He goes back and he finds the house clean, empty, all fixed up. Then it goes out and brings along seven other spirits, even worse than itself, and they come and live there. So when it is all over, that person is in worse shape than he was at the beginning. This is what happened to the evil people of this day. Jesus says that when you yourself or through a team ministry have something that's demonic driven out of your body, then you've got to fill that void space with something that's contrary, which would be the spirits of goodness and all the other things that you can do to cover up. Otherwise, the evil spirit that's gone out and is just wandering around over dry country in verse 43 will come back. And if the house is all cleaned up and it's still empty, he'll come right back in. In verse 10, we find something interesting, I think. Mark chapter 5, verse 10. It says, he begged Jesus not to send the evil spirits out of that region. King James, out of the country. This is the fact proven that demons did not want to leave this locality. Proves that they liked some places better than other places. They've got choice, they've got power, they've got desires, they've got feelings. Please don't send us out, it says. Well, he let them go, verse 13, and the evil spirits went out of the man, entered the pigs, the whole herd. How many? 2,000 pigs. Suppose they were at the market value of $35 a pig. How much money are we talking about? $70,000 in swine. So our subject today is from man to swine. $70,000 down the drain, no. $70,000 in the lake. And the guy's upset. And he goes into town, he tells what happened. The people come back out to see it, and what they see is in verse 15. They came to Jesus. What we need to do today is to come to Jesus. And when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who used to have the 6,000 demons in him. He was sitting there clothed and in his right mind. And then they all got afraid. They all got frightened as well. They saw him in his right mind. This is the work that Jesus has come to do, John 10:10. He's come to give new life. He's come to change our minds, to give us a sound mind. He wants every believer to do that so that the believer can be glorified in God in that change. He has come to destroy the works of the devil, the scripture says. And if you'll turn to page 75 in the Pew Bible, you'll read in Mark 16, 17 and 18. Believers will be given the power to perform miracles. They will drive out demons in my name. They will speak in strange tongues. Mark 16, 17, and 18. And then John records in John 14, verse 12, I am telling you the truth. Whoever believes in me will do what I do. Yes, he will do even greater things, because I'm going to the Father. And then Acts 1:8 tells us that the Spirit of God came upon the church, the same Spirit today upon our church. And then in verse 19, back to our text, Mark 5, he tells the people to do something. He says, go back home. Go back home. He tells the man to go back home. Well, I guess maybe he wanted the man to go back home so the people there would know the power of God, because there they could see. Now, in the scripture that we've just read, there are four prayers that are prayed by people. The chief demon in verse 7 prays a prayer, and the chief demon in verse 10 prays a prayer. In verse 12, all the demons pray a prayer. In verse 17, the man who was healed prays a prayer, and his prayer was, "Let me go with you, Jesus." And Jesus thought best not to answer his prayer with a yes. And then the fourth prayer also comes from the healed man, verse 18 and 19. "Let me go with you," he says, and Jesus says, "No, I want you to stay." Go home. The compassion of Jesus upon a man. And so Mark has written a story that's followed through with Luke. In Luke's writings, he also records this. He gives some extra information, though. He says that the demon within the man said, "Don't send me to the bottom pit," the bottom, the abyss. And in verse 33, if you're looking at the other Luke's account, you'll see that he entered, that it says the demon entered, he entered, which shows that a demon can go out of one body and into another body. As I was reading the scripture, I pondered both of these accounts and also the other account that's listed in Matthew, and I noticed something different. Turn to Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. Matthew 8:28. You'll find here is a brand new story about something similar that happened that we've just looked at. Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, we find the same thing happening, but here Jesus was met by two men who came out of the burial cave. These men had demons in them, and they were so fierce that no one dared travel on the road. No one dared come near the tombs because these two men were living there. So Matthew's account is not the same story. I say that just to let you know that it is not the same story that we've looked at first, because here we have two men. Demons are made subject to Jesus. Demons are made subject to Jesus and believers by the atonement, that is the spilt blood of Jesus on the cross, and by the name of Jesus. They are made subject to Christ. And listen to these four statements. There are demon spirits for every sickness, unholy trait, and doctrinal error known among men. There are demon spirits for all of these. Secondly, they must be cast out or resisted in order to experience relief from them. Three, disease germs, which are closely allied with unclean spirits, are really living forms of corruption which come into the bodies of men and women and bring death to them. Disease germs, closely allied with unclean spirits. God wouldn't send unclean spirits. God wouldn't send disease and germs. So who does it? And the fourth is this. Just as refuge breeds magnets, so man in his fallen state of corruption breeds germs through unclean living and contact with corruption in this fallen world. They are agents of Satan. They are corrupting the bodies of the victims. So you see, I'm a prime target, and so are you as well. I know what you're thinking. Pastor, are you saying I need deliverance? That's probably what you're thinking. Look who I am and what I do. And are you saying I need deliverance? You say that in your mind right now. Some of you got to be thinking that. And I'll come back and saying yes. If you have a problem right now in these five areas, emotional area, your mental area, your speech area, your sex area, or your addiction area, then you are a prime subject for having some demons cast out of you. And they enter through sin, through circumstances, through inheritance, and through an open door that you may give them. I just praise the Lord that according to the Word of God, He has come to destroy the work of Satan. And Satan is acting today as never before. In fact, the Scripture says, in the latter times, the evil spirits will be working more and more prevalent among our lives. You know, Christian can't be possessed by a demon because I'm possessed by Jesus. But I certainly can be affected by them, and I am. But I praise God, the victory is in Jesus. In Jesus. Praise God for that. Would you stand with me?